listener production. A pinch and a punch for the first of the month.
How old are you, like 10?
It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Well, the future is now. Alex Dyson, did you see?
You can't say that in podcasting, unfortunately, because this is it. Like, literally the past. Even if we get it up as quickly as possible, we're still living in the past.
Yeah, you are. Okay, well, what happened is, and depending on how you're even listening it, you might not even be listening to it on your phone anymore. Mm. You might not even be listening to it with headphones. We could be being transported directly into your brain. Elon Musk tweeting the other day, the first human received an implant from Neuralink yesterday and is recovering well. Initial results show promising neuron spike detection. So the first Neuralink brain chip has been implanted in a human.
Oh, I tell you what, that's some dangerous territory. Because I think the first four maybe rockets that SpaceX tried didn't work out.
Well, look, they've been doing it on monkeys for a little while, and some reports. Well, some reports are saying that Elon apparently has described the monkeys as living in paradise. Some reports have suggested they had suffered painful deaths. But this is just what news.com.au is saying. And the idea of this Neuralink thing is to, what they want to do is treat neurological disorders like ALS and Parkinson's. They want to restore vision for people who are born blind. And they also want to look at, Elon specifically said initial users will be those who have lost the use of their limbs.
Right.
So you might be able to control your phone or computer basically just by thinking. And the idea would be then, of course, you can start actually communicating with someone else telepathically.
Right, you just think them into your brain. So you don't have to text, you don't have to call.
No.
You think
so them. You'd just be
so
like,
your brain's connected to the internet.
Instead of sending an email, you would literally just send a thought. Hey, just sending you a thought, and then you'd just think it, and then you'd send it to them. And you'd get that ding.
You'd get a ding in your head.
And of course, then that would be so annoying, though, because you'd get all the spam as well.
Oh, my God.
You'd get all these spam thoughts. And it'd just suddenly be like XXXL penis. You know?
Straight to your
head. Chinese pills. Straight to your head. As if my own thoughts about that wasn't enough. So.
All right. Well.
Now I got third party insecurities. Please. All right. So
we've got a show to do, Matt O'Kine. So why don't we get cracking?
Yeah, let's drive right in, hey. Strap in, turn your neurochips loud, and let's get going. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Question for producer Bron. Did you get into Barbies growing up?
Barbie dolls. Yeah. I did love a barbecue.
That was always good going around to a friend's place and there was barbecue stuff happening.
I think I had some I wasn't really a girly girl. I don't know if this term is used that much these days, but it's more of a tomboy back in the day. But I did have a couple Barbies.
Did you have Barbies, Daiso?
I don't recall playing with Barbies too frequently. Right. My sister had one or two. She wasn't super into them from memory.
I mean, Sophia is getting into her Barbies, and Belinda was a big Barbie fan growing up. Had loads of them. In fact, her dad has just found sent a photo through saying just found this in the cupboard. Does Sophia want it? And Belinda received a photo of the Barbie camper van.
Oh, that was a big ticket item.
Yeah, no, right. Sophia's getting that. So that's straight to Antiques Roadshow, mate.
Well, that's it. That's it, right? Like, because here's the other thing that happened recently. We were at a op shop in Port Macquarie, and Belinda's comes up to me and goes, hey, I think I want to buy this. And she shows me this Barbie. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that would be great. Sophia will love that.
We could do that. Give it a haircut, you know, draw on it with Texter.
Yeah, she's like, no, not for Sophia. It was a Sydney Olympics Barbie that does backstroke in the water. It's still in the box, right? At an op shop that was selling it for $25. Belle's like,
dude,
and Belle's like, I'm buying this for this could be a collector's item one day. Especially, you know, Brisbane Olympics coming up. It's still in box. The boxing is not great. It's all crumpled and stuff. But even when she Googled it, she's like, these things sell for $100 when they're in good condition. This is $25.
Yep.
I want to do it. So then Belinda's like, I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool, go for it. Mm-hmm. Then Sophia's like, oh, yay, new Barbie.
Oh, no, she spotted it.
And yeah.
Uh-oh.
And Belinda's like, oh,
Belinda's
no,
trying to
this
backstroke
is...
out of the conversation to try and say she doesn't.
And Belinda's like, oh, no, Mum's just buying this for herself. Mm-hmm. And Sophia's like, yeah, but so that we can play with it.
Together, right, Mum?
Oof. Belinda's like, no, this is not coming out of the box.
Sophia, this is how you learn about long-term investments.
Okay, compound interest. It's all really important.
Supply and demand.
So suddenly Sophia is crying. We're in this op shop. Sophia's crying, going, I want to play with it. And Belinda's like, no, this is mine. It's a really difficult lesson to learn that this Sydney Olympics Barbie is mine.
Some things are not meant to be fun. You do them for the money, Sophia.
So it just made me think, what toy did you buy for yourself?
Amanda said, my brother-in-law has hundreds of unopened Hot Wheels cars and a three-year-old car-loving nephew who isn't allowed to play with them.
Oh, it's like walking into a toy store every day at home. Oh, please, can I have this one, Daddy? Nope. Teresa said, we have mostly looking Lego and only some playing Lego. Sorry, kids.
That's looking Lego. Yeah, damn.
I bet there's a pirate ship.
They'd have to. They were awesome.
They would be a pirate ship, and no one is allowed to walk that plank.
It might be a Millennium Falcon as well that stays on
yes.
the top shelf.
Yeah. And Mark says, I have a $300 lightsaber only for me, not the kids.
No. You don't know what could happen if they get their mitts on it.
Well, that's it. They might chop your arm off.
Could do. And they say, why? He's like, because I am your father.
Driverless cars, Alex Dyson.
Ooh, yes.
And Bron, actually, including you on this. How do we feel about them? We trust them?
No.
Really?
Not trusting the driverless cars.
That was very quick.
Yeah. It's a tricky one. Because there's a point where they'll be safer than any rando lad driving around, lad or lass, hooning on the roads, not paying attention, accelerating too quickly, not missing a stop sign.
It's too early. I will trust it in 20 to 30 years when the kinks are ironed out.
It is the modern equivalent, really, of, you know, back in the day. When we didn't know what was and what wasn't poisonous, and everyone's standing around the bush with the, you know, red and purple berries on it, going, you give it a go. And everyone's like, nah, you give it a go first. Who's gonna have a bite of this one first?
So some people are saying that it's a lot likely that they're going to be around until, like properly around, until about 2050. So we've got about 25 years. They're saying, but in about that time, there will be like, you know, unmanned cars all along the highways, etc. Mm-hmm. Did you know, and this is why I bring it up, because I had no idea, that there, for the last year, there has been a driverless Ford Ranger driving around the streets of Dubbo.
What? Yeah. Didn't know that.
No, exactly. Going around, pre-mapped routes, speeds of up to 50 k's an hour. It's got LIDAR, radar, cameras, drive-by-wire steering system, and it's just been cruising around Dubbo at up to 50 k's an hour.
Everyone in Dubbo knows about this.
I would assume so, because it's got the little, but maybe people just think that it's like a Google Maps kind of car, because it just kind of looks like it's got a camera on top of it.
Do they have a pretend driver in there to not freak people out too much?
No, I don't think that there's anything in there.
Because when you get that feeling, like if you go to a country that drives on the opposite side of the road and you look at a car, sometimes you're like, there's no one driving, but you're like, oh, their wheel's on the other side and what looks like the passenger is actually in control of that vehicle. So that's fine. But imagine looking in and there's nobody.
I know, right? So that's going to freak you out. But apparently it's all about trust. And one of the things is people just don't trust it. Because soon, one day, they're going to have cars that don't even have steering wheels. And the way that we look at cars are going to be completely different.
Because then you have the seats. I've seen like mock-ups of them. Like the, let's say, four seats in a car. They're all looking inwards at each other.
Oh,
imagine
what?
Sitting in the car and having to look in people's eyes.
That's bad enough on a train when you've got to sit opposite someone in the four-seater and you're on the way home from work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be weird. And then you think, like, because right now, the front of the cars, like when you look at Teslas, they got the boot at the front. Mm-hmm. That's becoming redundant. You don't need that bit.
No.
So
soon, pop a person there.
They're going to look completely different. They're not going to have any steering wheels.
On it, that'll just be the baby seat.
What, at the front?
Yeah,
what,
in the front.
Put the baby seat in the front. So if anything happens, they cop it first. It's actually the opposite.
Put them in the back.
So, well, what's happening is, because people say there's that age-old question, you know? So you go, it's called the trolley test. You know, the whole idea, the what-if scenario. You've got a old person and they're, you know, walking their grandchild across the road. The car comes around the corner. It has to hit one of them. Which one does it choose? Mm-hmm. And one of the professors that's working on this at QUT has said, well, basically what's going to happen is it's just going to come down to the software engineers.
Get to decide.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
but it's not going to be the software engineers. What will probably happen, it'll happen on a legislation scale where we will all go as like a society.
Yeah.
We'll go, look, if a car has to make this decision.
You probably
Gramps is getting it.
But you wouldn't be able to measure like the wrinkles on someone's face for how long they've lived. You'd have to go by height. You just hit the tallest person.
No.
Problem is because old people start getting smaller as well. They start getting the size of children again. So which one are you going for?
You can't tell the wrinkles. This is part of the problem about the trust. Because they are so much better at figuring things out in like microsecond speed that it'll tell whether this person has dinner at 5 p.m. or not.
Well,
you know,
I saw a footage of a instructor getting a bit frustrated with the person he was teaching to drive recently. Wasn't doing a great job by the looks of things. It was a bit dangerous. And he goes, listen, you get an old man in front of you or a young child, okay? They both step out in front of you. What do you hit? And she goes, oh, you swerve in front of the old man and hit him because he lived away. He's like, no, you hit the brakes. And got out of the car. Session over. You don't make the decision. You hit the brakes. Thank you.
Well, anyways, I'm excited. I am welcoming our new AI overlords with open arms. I can't wait to do that drive to Port Macquarie a bit easier.
And now it's time for
Mind Blown.
That's right. Fact is stranger than fiction. And on a Thursday, Matt O'Kine brings in one that is mind-blowing material.
Yeah, that's right. And look, we were talking about Barbies earlier on today. And I used to, you know, did you ever have a toy when you were growing up that you loved?
I was more a teddy boy.
Were you really?
Had teddy at Fletcher. I had one called Borky. Got one called Frederick.
Oh, that's so sweet. You are a teddy bear guy.
Did you not have teddy bears?
No, not at all.
What'd you have?
I had like, my favorite things were my Ninja Turtles when I was growing up.
Not as soft to cuddle, but.
No, no, you don't want to. Tell you what, you wake up uncomfortable if you sleep on that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Got a bloody a sigh in your back.
A few nunchucks.
Yeah. But anyways, it does relate to our Mind Blown segment for this week as I try to blow your mind every single week. And this one is about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. My mind-blowing fact, Alex Dyson, is that did you know that up until 1997, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was the highest grossing indie film of all time? Did you know that?
Till 97.
Yeah, it was beaten by Blair Witch. Between 1988 and 1992, they'd sold $1.1 billion of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys.
Damn.
In 4 years, making them the third best-selling toy figures ever.
It does go to show that you can literally come up with anything and, you know, it could be good. Because if that didn't exist and someone pitched it to you, you'd be like, absolutely not.
Well, that's what they did.
There's no way.
They released it as a joke against all of the ridiculous superhero movies. So they would have literally been sitting in a room being like, God, look at all these stupid superhero movies. Let's do our own. What would be the stupidest superhero you could come up with?
Because then weren't samurai pizza cats, didn't that come off the back of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to go even further?
So what, do we need to come up with our own?
Yeah, probably.
So samurai pizza cats, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, okay. Baby dog breakdancers. Did you think that could work?
Potentially. What about,
Angry Yaoi Yoho Diablos?
Yeah, that could be interesting. Geriatric Kung Fu Pimple Laden Capybaras. Geriatric dad have pimples. That is a crossover.
Okay.
You'd be pretty annoyed if you were having pimples at 80, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, everyone's got different reasons for all sorts of ailments. I don't know how capybaras feel about it.
Yeah.
But look, is that, what do you reckon? Mind-blowing?
It is mind-blowing. If you just said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was successful, yeah, hit it. Mind-blowing. Because that is a mind-blowing thing. Do you remember when we interviewed Will Arnett and Megan Fox for that film?
Yes, I do. And I do. And we asked them that question. What's your favorite artist? Raphael Donatello. And he was like, oh, that's actually a question I haven't gotten yet.
Well, it's very rare in one of those interviews to get a question you haven't gotten
yet. I know. Because they've been asked everything. They've been around the world doing those chats. Yes, I do remember that. Hey, we also asked you for a mind-blowing fact. We asked you to leave a voice message, and that's what Brendan's done.
G'day, Bron, Alex, and Matt. Here's a mind-blown for you. George Foreman has 5 sons and 7 daughters, and all 5 sons are called George Foreman. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. He also has one of his daughters called Georgetta. Yeah. So there's your mind blown for this week. Don't roll on us yet, Alex.
What do you reckon?
Well, don't roll on us yet. What does that mean?
I think it means don't hit him with a mild groan.
Oh. Okay.
Don't hit him with that MG, bra.
That is mind blowing.
Mind blown.
Blown away. 5 George Foremans and 1 Georgetta. What? I've never heard of Georgetta. What about Georgina?
It's a pretty genius sort of thing. Okay, there's a couple of different reasons, right? One, if you call for your kids, you only have to call once. George, everyone comes.
They wouldn't. They go, George Foreman. They'll yell back, which one?
You just yell out numbers instead. You just say, 3, number 3, get over here.
G3.
But when you like have hand-me-down clothes, you don't have to change the name on the tag.
Yeah.
It goes straight back to George, you know? So there you go.
I wonder if they have the same conversations about George Foreman as they do about which Terminator film's the best, you know, T1, T2, T3. There could be arguments.
It'd be tough being, you know, George Foreman the 5th. Very rarely. You know, if we're talking Police Academy movies, Star Wars, I mean, really is the 5th one the best?
Yeah, people really stop caring by that stage. Unless there's a George Foreman reboot.
Well, everyone knows George Foreman the grill, Alex. Here's another little extra mind-blowing fact for you. Hulk Hogan was the first person that they asked to attach their name to the grill.
So Hulk could have been telling you to knock out the fat.
Yeah, Hulk, exactly. It could have been the Hulk Hogan grill maker or whatever. But in 2011, Hulk explained in an interview, he said that he chose to endorse the Hulkmania meatball maker instead. A mistake that would cost him hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh, Hulk. You could just imagine every time he walks into the garage at home, just hundreds of meatball makers.
That is copying one of the biggest L's in appliance history. unbelievable. The Hulk meatball mania.
The Hulk mania meatball maker. All right, this is Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast. Hope you had a good one today. We've had a bit of fun. We're going to be back here same time, same place tomorrow. And in the meantime, as you've heard today, we are always posting questions, etc., on our Instagram. Hit us up at matt.n.alex just to make sure you're up to date with everything.
Hope you've had a good one. We will catch you with another big episode of All Day Breakfast tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.n.alex.